Good morning and welcome back to the God School. The effort that we put forth here at the God School is designed to teach the Word of God. My personal testimony is I'm not smart enough to teach anybody. But by God's grace, 35 or more years ago, God in His kindness drew me into this book, gave me a teacher who turned lights on and caused me to begin to come to know the Word of God. And the reason that this voice is going forth is because, and I'm not saying there isn't, but I don't know where the Word of God is being taught today that the children of God might have knowledge of God. This week, I made a mistake, maybe, and I exposed myself to some religious TV. And I turned on one program, and there was a host, well-known in the evangelical community, and he was hosting the new Miracle Man in the evangelical movement, in the Pentecostal movement. And the two men were talking, and the Miracle Man was saying, he was preaching, and he was preaching out of the Acts 2, speaking of Jesus. This man approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. And as somehow or other, miracles, signs, and wonders were the sum and substance of Jesus Christ. And he kept going on and on. This man approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. And then he began to give his testimony how he was in this foreign country, and he was teaching the people about miracles, signs, and wonders and how to get them. And all of a sudden, a woman jumped up, came running to the front, and testified about how she had had a hysterectomy years ago, and right in the middle of the service, lo and behold, God gave her a new womb. Really don't know how that evidenced itself, And then he told of another story about a woman in another foreign country, again, who had had a mastectomy, and lo and behold, in his meeting, God grew her a new breast. And the whole time, his premise was a man, Jesus, approved of God with signs, wonders, and miracles, as though some man performed these miracles. It was Jesus Christ, who is God. And though I will not deny God manifesting Himself in miracles, signs, and wonders in our life, this is not the sum and substance of Christianity. I'll make my point after I tell you of another program I saw. And this was a local Phoenix church. And it's a husband and wife team, and man, oh man, these are fire-breathing preachers. I'm telling you, when they get going, they don't take time to take a breath. They just bah, 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 bah. And this woman was talking about, it was time for the church to wake up. The church, it was time for the church to wake up. You know, stop doing the things of the world, to wake up, to wake up. And her persona was such that, you know, I stayed longer than I probably should have, but I stayed long enough to, you know, finally hear the sum and substance of her message. And, you know, she got down to defining Christianity as somehow not drinking wine with the world, about, you know, not watching movies and all that other absurd crap that the church puts out and calls it Christianity. And then at the end of the program, I think their daughter comes on and says, you know, if you've enjoyed this program and you have come to a knowledge of Christ, and I'm telling you, I'm sure his name was mentioned, but it certainly was not the object of the message. She says, if you've come to know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. And she gives some phony form of the sinner's prayer, you know, repeat after me. And I said I didn't want to name names, but I'm going to name this name. It's called Fresh Start Ministries. And then she purports to give, if you will, I guess, the life verse of the ministry, which is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And she tells them, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and she says, they have a fresh start. The Word of God reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, am I singling these people out? Folks, I've been saying this for years because I was taught this, because Jesus declared it, that we make void the Word of God by our traditions. These folks give a life verse and which declares truly the sum and substance of Christianity, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God's not given our flesh a fresh start. For faith, he has put his Spirit in us, and we become a new creation, a new creature, a now dual creation. The old man which we are to reckon as dead, and the new creation in Christ Jesus. Can God restore wombs? Yes. Can he restore breasts that have been taken away? Yes. Does he? I don't know. I'm just wondering if that preacher who talked about the new breast being created, if, you know, and this is the way my mind works, you know, if he said, oh, could I see it? Probably. Backstage. These presentations, supposedly in the name of Jesus Christ, really really stuck in my craw. And, you know, prompted by the Spirit, I believe, I searched for a verse in this scripture, in this which we call scripture, the Bible, that said something to the effect, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that wasn't the verse. What the verse was the sixth verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Hosea. And it actually reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It goes on to say, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. I try never to bring my message to the God school. God is the subject here at this learning center. God is the object of our search for knowledge. Jesus himself, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, said, this is life eternal, that a man may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The world's in a mess today, but in my limited view, and I believe a fair impression of the whole, the Church of Jesus Christ is in a mess. You know, everyone bringing his own message. Where is the teaching of the Word of God? I mean, God gave this Word, which we call the Bible, which is a revelation of himself in order that he might reveal himself to the world the way he is, and through that revelation, the understanding might come that though he is God and can do whatever he wants to do, this revelation tells us that he is faithful. And that when we understand that God is faithful and he does what he says he will do, faith comes. I didn't say that when we come to that understanding that earth is going to become heaven, it will one day. That is a place where Jesus Christ shall rule and reign. But it's not heaven now, as one portion of the church would have you understand. But this book declares from cover to cover that God does what he says, and therefore we can trust him. To use the term that I learned, that we use in the God School, we can learn to faith. Belief does not give sufficient understanding to that which is being declared in the New Testament by the Greek word translated believe. The word is pisteo. And the word pisteo means an action based upon belief, sustained by confidence. It's more than just belief. It is a hanging of the body, continually confident in God, without having God grow us a new womb or a new breast or whatever other fleshly lusts we would have or put God to the test to prove he's God, that he can grow a new womb or a new breast. This book of Hosea is it's a very special book to me. Why is it a very special book to me? Well, because few in the church uh, read it. Even fewer understand it. And it's going to serve as a beginning place in putting forth an understanding of God's faithfulness. This is going to be the beginning of a new series on the manifestation of God's faithfulness in the history of the world. And it can be demonstrated. I have written in my Bible, right at the title of Hosea, Unboxing God. It says, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Now, this puts Hosea as a contemporary of Isaiah, the prophet. Now, you know, if you read the order of the books, you think that, you know, Hosea is kind of a latecomer. He comes after Daniel. But Hosea is contemporary to Isaiah. That puts him about the middle of the 8th century B.C. And he is a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel, which will be evident as we continue. He says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. Wait a minute, God can't talk like that. Not our holy God. What does he know about whores or harlots? And this is the first word that God says to this, I don't know what we call him, young preacher. First word, go take a whore for a wife. And children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Circle that. Last three words of the fourth verse. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Seventh verse says, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Circle that word. House of Judah. Fourth verse says, house of Israel. Seventh verse says, house of Judah. And will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Well then, wait a minute. The Jews in the time of Christ didn't read this book either, because they were looking for one who would deliver them from the Romans by bow or by sword or by battle of horses or horsemen. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. Let's go on. Now, when she weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. And then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Now, one of the reasons that this book is not taught from very often is because of a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding of what God's talking about. If we went to the 11th verse, it says, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. Now, we have reference, house of Israel, house of Judah, children of Judah, children of Israel. God is talking about two different peoples. Now, the traditional church I don't care what you call it, Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Baptist. The traditional church, because they don't teach the Word of God but teach their traditions, have literally no idea that God saw this family of Israel, that is, of Jacob, that is, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel, have no idea. God looked at them as two different people. And And because of that lack of knowledge, they miss the opportunity totally to show off God's in control. One of his names is the Lord of Hosts, which identifies him as controlling animate as well as inanimate objects. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Hebrews letter says, who holds all things together by the power of his word? And because of lack of knowledge, God declares later in this book, my people are destroyed. Now, why people don't teach on this book? Let's go to the 10th verse. It says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sands of the sea. You know, my Bible has a marginal reference, which would take me to the 27th verse of the 9th chapter of Romans. Folks, I want you to understand something. That was a promise that God made to Abram and Sarah. He continued it through Isaac. This is what God said he was going to do. This was a promise God made to Abraham regarding his descendants, that they would number as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. And the recipient, as declared in this verse, as well as other verses, are the children of Israel, not Judah. That distinct from house of Judah, children of Judah. This is house of Israel, house or children of Israel. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Paul probably puts it a little more correct when he quotes this verse. It says, you're the children of the living God. You know, God just wants you women to know also he's thinking of you. These names of the children of that relationship between Hosea and the whore he took for his wife, their names are Jezreel, which means scattered, and Lo Ruhamah, which means not having obtained mercy. And Lo Ami, which means not my people. Stay with me. There's just so much. I really don't want to get into a verse-by-verse exegete of this book. What I'm trying to do is give the beginning of the understanding and knowledge of what God did with this house of Israel, what He is doing with this house of Israel, and we will incorporate multiple books of Scripture, which were written over a multitude of centuries by a multitude of writers, yet inspired by the same God who is continually carrying the same message. So I don't want to bog down, and I apologize for my hesitation, but it just goes along with the teaching. It says in the second chapter, the 13th verse, it says, "And I will visit upon her," speaking of the house of Israel, "the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her unto me in the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her." Marginal note says, "to her heart," or friendly. But here's a key verse. "And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam." What were the days of Balaam? I challenge you to go, if you're not part of this organization, but you happen to, by the grace of God, to come across this website, listen to this message. I want you to go and ask your pastor, whoever he may be, what were the days of Balaam? These were the days that God split the kingdom and Jeroboam became king of the north. I mean, go read the accounts in Kings and Chronicles. God not only saw these as two different people, He split their countries. You got Israel of the north and Judah of the south. And when they split, Jeroboam began to lead the people in the worship of Baal. And if you were to do an accounting, you would find that from the time Jeroboam began to lead them into the worship of Baal until the time God sent Assyria down to conquer the northern kingdom, the house of Israel, the children of Israel, was 360 years. And God says in Leviticus, if his people began to worship other gods, he would punish them 7 times. And we have now this strange number of 7 times the 360 years that they worshiped Baal, which equals 2,520 years that God is going to visit upon his children Israel, where they're going to be scattered and they're not going to be known as his people and they're not going to be known as having his mercy. But in his kindness, God tells us 7 times he will visit upon her the days of Baal. That means it's a finite number. There, it's going to come to an end. And the end is 2,520 years from the time, or 2,520 years from the time, or the beginning of the conquering of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians. But God says there's a time that he will speak to their heart, that he will speak friendly to them, that he will, excuse me, speak comfortably to them. I will give her her vineyards from that time, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. How many of you know that the Valley of Achor is where Nathan prophesied unto King David, which prophecy can be found in 2 Samuel 7, and in this series we'll return to that. And God says, and the Valley of Achor, the word means trouble, but it's where God made promises to David for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of Egypt, when God manifested his power to deliver. Oh. Oh, for a return. Not for a return, for a continuance. In that faith. The way we started. And it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishe. And shall call me no more Baali. Thou shalt call me my husband, and not my Lord. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. God is saying they're not going to be called Israel anymore. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heavens and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. Now, the 18th verse is for a time yet to come. The 20th verse says, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. I believe, I have every confidence, this is the job that God has given to His apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the church. That thou shalt know the Lord, and it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, the scattered ones, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, Lo Ruhamah, and I will say to them which were not my people, Lo Ami, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. This is the end of the first in a series. Of giving knowledge to God's people that they might come to faith, continue in faith, stay strong in faith, stay confident in faith, and not be destroyed. That's the God School for today.